What is our mission here? He makes his purpose clear. One world, one Lord. Spirit of truth, descend. All our confusions end. Give me your hand, my friend. Jesus is Lord. Everybody's welcome. Anyone can come to gather in the house of God. As family together, the old and the young will join to worship as one. One of the interpretations and the understandings of what went on at that first Pentecost, what went on when the Holy Spirit was poured out on so many on that famous day, which we've heard Helen read from this morning, one of the particular perspectives on it I like is that it was, in some ways, a reversal of what went on with the Tower of Babel far, far earlier on, at the beginnings of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11, that it reversed the confusion of language and that people's capacity to understand one another was reversed by suddenly everybody being able to understand. I'm going to read an excerpt from Genesis 11. It says this: Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and a tar for mortar. Then they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Now, there's a whole series of Bible studies to be done on what was going on there and how people understood God being at work and why God would have scattered the language. There's obviously issues of human vanity, of human ego, of humans wanting to become greater than God, pride and those kinds of things which were being overcome. But what I find interesting is that that part of early Genesis, which we see in much of early Genesis, especially those first 11 chapters, is an understanding of who we are, is an understanding of how we've come to be the kind of people we are, of our origins, of what makes us tick as human beings. And what I find tragic in this telling and in the story of Babel is that scattering of people, is that confusion of language, is that inability of people to cooperate and to coordinate and to work together. There are, in fact, other ancient myths based on similar stories from other cultures, which would suggest that have this a very similar story to this, but they see the coming of many different languages and perspectives as being a positive thing. That actually, the broadening of culture and different ideas is actually a positive thing. But here we see the scattering of people, here we see misunderstanding, the lack of people being able to cooperate and to understand one another anymore. But in this famous reading from Pentecost, we see the opposite of this. We see that everybody's welcome. We see that everyone can come. We see that we can gather in the house of God. Again, that famous reading. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Everybody is welcome. This in what goes on here, we see a reversal of that confusion. We see a bringing together of people who are scattered. We see people being able to hear and to understand and to make sense of what God's people were saying. The amazing thing, in addition to that, is that these people were the Galileans. These people were common people who were speaking. They weren't the learned, the experts in the law, the rabbis, the teachers of the time. These were people who were the common folk, and yet God had given them this incredible gift in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and in their understanding of the gospel and in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we see here a flipping of the order of things. We see that in a world where everybody is spread apart and different and unable to understand each other, we see that if only for a short time on Pentecost, people can come together as one and people can hear from God. And people can understand what one another are saying. And for me, this speaks hugely of God's inclusivity, of God's desire that people would be united, that God's desire that all people, regardless of age, of background, of ability, of whatever we might have, that God calls all people to be together as one. And for me, this presents an incredible challenge to us as the church today. In Jesus Christ, and then in the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and then in Paul and other statements about there being no longer being divides between types of people, there no longer being slave nor free, there no longer being Greek nor Roman, that all of us can be united in Christ. In those incredible events and a developing understanding, in the coming of Jesus, in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and in the opening up of the gospel and the people of faith to all, regardless of background, the gospel is broken wide open. The message and the family of God is broken wide open, and what we see emerging throughout the New Testament is God opening Godself up to all, saying this really is for everybody. The message of God in Jesus Christ is for everyone. There aren't people who are to be privileged one over the other. There isn't an elite class. There aren't people who have inherited the truth and therefore they have full claim to the truth. We can come together as one and God can meet with each of us. Old or young, rich or poor, different understandings, different perspectives, we can come together as one. And this presents us with a big challenge. How do we, as individuals and as God's church, even a church here in the middle of Histon, surrounded by lots of different people and other churches and everything going on in the world, how do we be a place where people can come together as one? How can we be a place where everybody has the opportunity to meet with Jesus? How do we make our worship and our activities and our events and our welcome and everything we do, how do we make that something which says to the community out there and to the wider world, everybody is welcome, regardless of background, regardless of where you come from, everybody is welcome. And of course, we're not doing too bad, I would say, having been part of this church for a good year and a half plus now. We are a place where people are made to be felt welcome, and yet we still can go further still. We still need to push on in how we become more a place for people of different abilities, people with physical problems and people with mental problems, with people with health problems. How do we become a place that better caters for those who are elderly? How do we become a place that better caters for those who are young, for families and children? How do we become a place where our worship and our life and our community reflects that inclusivity and openness of God? How do we become a place where, in the same way on Pentecost, everybody said, how are they speaking our language? How are they expressing themselves to us? How is it that we can understand what they're saying? Can we, as Histon Methodist Church, become a place where everybody who comes says, I know what they're talking about. I get this. I can hear that. I understand that they're talking about a God who loves me. I understand that this is a place where I can worship God and I can know God, where my questions can be answered, where my doubts can be explored. And of course, it's not too much of a stretch to say that if we are challenged as a church to be a church who can be an inclusive and open place, a place where everybody is welcome, that is something that wider society is massively in need of at this time. When we look to the events in London last night, when we look to the events in Manchester from a couple of weeks ago, when we see what goes on further afield around the world at this time, when we see differences along religious lines, along issues of language, along issues of cultural divides, we see a world that needs something of the inclusivity and the openness which that first Pentecost spoke of. We need something which says we are not different species of people, we are not on some different path, we are all together as one. In a world where, to my mind at least, political debate has been reduced to people shouting things from opposite sides of an impenetrable divide, what does Pentecost say about our need to listen and to hear, and for actually that it is possible for people to hear what's going on and to listen to one another? The unity which the Holy Spirit offers us a glimpse of. Let's not pretend that everything since then, that day in the church, has somehow been some sort of parable of unity. Clearly, there is still much that divides us. But it does offer us both an example and a reminder that that gift of the Holy Spirit is for today as well. It offers us that reminder that the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost to bring unity, to bring people together, to bring understanding, is something which is available today and something which we need to cry out for and call out for and pray for today. It's something that we can work for and pray for within our church community here, and something that we can work for and pray for and build in the wider community too. Of course, one of the dangers people often see in unity is that we somehow have to all be the same, or we can be inclusive and everybody's welcome and we'll come together and we'll worship God and we'll grow in our relationship with God, but then there somehow becomes a sausage factory where everyone is supposed to turn out the same and we just become good Christians, whatever that means. I just don't think that's the case. I don't think anything in the history of the church would suggest that. And even the scriptures point to the variety and the differences that can be available. Helen also read from 1 Corinthians, what talked about the different gifts of the Spirit poured out. It talked about the gift of service, the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of the utterance of knowledge, the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, the gifts of working miracles, the gifts of prophecy, of speaking in tongues, of interpreting tongues. There's a great variety of really amazing gifts there. And of course we know from other passages in Bible the idea of the fruit of the Spirit being love and joy and patience and peace and kindness and all those kinds of things that can be poured out on God's people, that we can work, that we can pray for and open ourselves up to and also work towards in our own lives. We pray today, and I pray today, for God's Holy Spirit to come and to be with me and to be with us in a fresh way. I pray that God breathes his breath into each of our lives and into the life of our church and our community. We need God's grace, we need God's Spirit, and we need God's creativity to know how we are to be a place and a people who put those Pentecost principles into action. We need creativity, we need new ideas, or we need reinvigorated old ideas to see how can we be that church and those people who can be what the world needs at this time. My prayer this Pentecost is that we might know the power and the blessing and the breath of God as his Holy Spirit is poured out on us, that we might have the creativity required to put God's purposes into action.